Hello, I'm Joshua Safair, and the two things that I've been asked to talk about in this brief presentation are my experience as the first artist fellow on the CLAW Leadership Programme, and also my experience leading participation as an artist. And although the two are clearly connected by my practice, what I do and the way that I do it, they are quite different things. So what I want to do in this short talk is to present just one project that I was working on before and during the CLAW Fellowship, a little bit about the Fellowship itself, and then finally to outline a project that I'm working on now. And what I hope to do is to track the impact of the Fellowship on my practice as an artist using these two examples. So, the first project that I want to talk about was commissioned by NEC in Porto, Portugal, and it's called Viver a Rua, which can be translated as Take to the Streets or Live for the Streets or something like that. And the project started with a public call throughout the city asking citizens to whom they would want to offer an accolade. And one individual would then become the name of a city street in perpetuity. So the legacy of the project is the altered map of the city itself. Viver a Rua asked people to imagine that they could change the fabric of the city, to consider who they want as their role models, and to raise questions about the relationship between society and state, all of which are active questions in Portugal at the moment. The project commenced with an advertising campaign, a press launch, television features, the distribution of thousands of project flyers and social networking, all inviting nominations. A number of workshops took place across the city, including family history, creative writing, children's poetry workshops, etc. And we also trained volunteers to engage citizens in public places, asking them to consider nominating in the future or to nominate somebody there and then. And this process of engagement took place over several months. We received hundreds of well-argued nominations, and a jury comprising representatives of different contingencies from the city of Oporto, history, media, sport, government, etc., then selected a shortlist of 5 nominations in order of preference, and these were put forward to the toponymic commission, who had supported the project from the outset. The culmination was a street party and publication launch in which the 5 shortlisted nominations were all read out and distributed, and the selected street was unveiled. Antonio Nicolau de Almeida was the nomination of a group of school children, amongst which was his great-great-grandson. Antonio Nicolau de Almeida was the unsung founder of the now famous Porto Football Club. He was also the reluctant 5th and last choice of the Viver a Rua jury, a choice that was included as a compromise with the bureaucracy of the city government, a compromise that was not lost on those engaging with the project, underlining the fact that the city was not yet in control of the people. This project overlapped with my undertaking the CLAW Fellowship. Now, I imagine that most people here will be conversant with the CLAW Leadership Programme and the fellowships that it offers. Now, in its 8th year, the CLAW Fellowship was set up to encourage the development of a new set of cultural leaders in the UK. It offers a core training in leadership, financial management, law, governance, media awareness and advocacy, as well as bespoke coaching, mentoring, training, study trips, a secondment, with the additional option of bidding for academic research funding. I had known about the scheme since its inception and had followed its progress with interest, although always at some distance. Quite simply put, as a practicing artist, I did not think it was meant for me. It was through an arts network email listing that I spotted that CLAW were offering an artist fellowship for the first time in the 2010-11 intake, and I was intrigued. What intrigued me was the implication of this named fellowship, that CLAW weren't necessarily interested in training an artist to become an arts manager, but rather they were interested in offering the arts manager training to an artist. At my interview, I was clear that I did not foresee a role for myself as a manager who would facilitate other people's creative output. They still gave me the fellowship. My argument to CLAW was that what I do as an artist is to negotiate between institutions and between those institutions and the public, that I work alongside a management team to lead a project through to completion. What is interesting is that for many of my artist colleagues, the idea of the artist as leader just does not scan. More, some consider it laughable, almost as if it was somehow an antithesis. Even amongst my Claw fellows, there are those who don't really get what I'm doing on the programme. I've used the fellowship to think about how I, as an artist, can really make a difference and to understand how what I do is leadership. And it has been an extraordinary process that has not yet fully sunk in. I've gained many new skills and a network of peers that I am positive will be sustained throughout my future career. What I've learned more than anything is that leadership is a matter of effect, not of intention, which is to say that leadership is something that you do that makes change, and this word change has come up again and again throughout this morning. And I've come to understand that what I do, not always, is a kind of leadership. So how can art really make a difference? Or rather, how can I, as an artist, really make a difference? My experience on Claw prompted me to apply for a residency as part of the Citizen Power Project in Peterborough. Citizen Power, which is jointly funded by Peterborough City Council, Arts Council England, and the Royal Society of Arts, is a programme consisting of six strands of projects providing opportunities for Peterborough citizens to build attachment to their surroundings, forming the basis for a more sustainable future. As part of the Arts and Social Change strand, the Context Matters residency programme is exploring the role of arts and imagination in building a renewed sense of belonging in Peterborough. I am the artist in residence at Moorland Court, which is a single occupancy housing association building in Werrington on the outskirts of Peterborough, with high unemployment and frequent turnover of residents. Historically, the building has been troubled by antisocial behaviour, drug taking in the communal corridors, setting up of fire alarms, vandalism, etc. They set up a residence association in about a year or 18 months ago, and they have made it a much safer environment to live in as a consequence. And I've been working since August with the residents and the immediate environment, and I suppose what I'm charged with is to make it somehow a community. And there are two key factors that are important for me as an artist, above and beyond the imperatives that accompany any work in a community setting that I'm trying to engage with. The first is that what I do should feel part of my body of work as an artist and maintain the same kind of quality controls. And the second is that whatever is set in place should not be contingent on my presence for its success. And there's this common sense assumption that making work in a community setting, you should seek yourself in the community, form strong human relations, etc., etc. And while I recognise the importance of establishing bonds of trust, I'm uneasy about setting in motion activity that can only succeed when I am there and stops at the end of the project when I have left. So I wanted to find a mechanism by which the project itself would do the work and also make sense for me as an artist. And I suppose this is the way that I've been thinking about leadership since undertaking the Claw Fellowship. What I'm proposing is to launch a campaign across Werrington telling the story of the turnaround at Moorland Court and inviting the local community to enter a competition to change the name of the building. The winning name will be selected by residents of Moorland Court and will become the new name. The person whose nomination is selected will win a prize. In a parallel process, a public programme of events aimed at, but not exclusively for, residents of Moorland Court will offer workshops, excursions, talks, etc. These could be wide-ranging in theme and approach, but underlying all of them will be the possibility that perhaps an idea for a new name will emerge during the course of the activity. Perhaps most importantly, the idea for changing the name of Moorland Court came from the Residents Association itself. It was something that was desired, but also seen as potentially too difficult and involved for the association to take on, and I'm sure it's obvious to you that it's a parallel with work that I've already been making. The project works with the hypothesis that by going through an open process of a name change, residents will consider the idea of transformation, of thinking about their local environment, and necessarily have to come together to review the implications. It wants to imagine that the changing of the name of a place where people live might offer a fresh start, a and activate other changes in participation and action. It will also require 100% participation from residents, because even if individuals choose not to participate in a workshop, don't engage by thinking of a new name, they will have to engage with the new name itself, at the very least in the practical sense of changing their own address details on documentation. I think that before undertaking the Clough Fellowship, I would have dismissed the Citizen Power Residency opportunity as a social project, as a distraction from my artistic practice. The space of the fellowship has allowed me to recalibrate the terms within which my practice operates, to better understand the higher order public goods that I am aiming at, and to think of leadership as a creative behaviour that is conscious and intentional about change.